Good morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, last week we found out that the unemployment rate hit its highest peak in the last 3 years. That was according to a Graham Thornton report. But an interesting aspect of that report was that 12.2% of young people are currently unemployed. That's one in eight. Why exactly is that the case? Have young people developed a reluctance to work, or are they incapable of filling the many vacancies that are available, particularly in service and retail? Well, to talk more about this, I'm joined by business owner, master tailor Louis Copeland, hotelier Lorraine Sweeney, and youth worker from Just Ask, Declan Keenan. Good morning and welcome to you all. Louis, we'll start with you first. You're in the business of retail. What is your observation of this unmistakable trend?
I just worry a bit that young people that's gone through the pandemic, and they kind of like need to come accept that, you know, you only have to work you don't have to work full time. You know, I mean, it's nearly become the norm that, you know, you work 2 days and 4 days at home or whatever. It's worrying. Most of our people that work in our shops started when they were 14, 15, and they've come up through the ranks. But I mean, I just worry about the future for young people now today.
Are you saying that people, when they're looking at a job spec, that they say, hang on a second, I want to go into work 3 or 2 days a week, but I definitely want to work from home? And of course, many jobs, you can't do that.
No, especially in retail or hospitality, you have to be on the floor. I mean, and, you know, I think that people now nearly come to, I think it's a norm now that, you know, you only have to go in 2 days and work from home 3 days.
Now, you are, as well as a retailer, you're a customer. What is your observation yourself when you go in to buy something and the kind of greeting you get from that particular generation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people, the generation that do work in store, in hospitality and retail, they're serious about their work. So, you know, I think they're on the right path.
You mean people who bother to take up a job in retail or service?
To take up a job, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I think part of the if you like the education you get. And we know that during COVID, there was a whole generation of young people who, under different circumstances, would have got a job in the local cafe, the local bar, or a summer job somewhere. But they didn't do that because of COVID.
Because of COVID. And I say to young people, the best education they'll ever get is to work on the floor in a pub, in a hospitality, in retail. That's the best education young people will get.
Because they're going to have to develop social skills to talk to people. The customer is generally always... The customer's generally always right, even when the customer's wrong. And in say, the bar business particularly, the kids will learn to handle problems because problems will inevitably arise.
It's the best education they'll ever get is to work in retail and in hospitality.
All right, stay on the line with us as we listen to Lorraine Sweeney. Louis, thank you very much for that contribution. Lorraine, what is your observation of this particular generation? You know, we hear anecdotally people afraid to take a phone call. They might respond to you by WhatsApp, they'll respond to an email, but they won't pick up the phone. Why?
Well, I can't give you an answer for that, Pat, but I certainly, I looked up about the 12.2% and it's only a very slight rise from June's report, but we're actually the lowest unemployment rate in Europe, and the lowest youth unemployment in Europe. So we're actually achieving an awful lot. And remember, the 15 to 24 age group, the vast majority are in full time education. So I think, in some respects, we're the victims of our own success. 95% of our youth go to secondary school and achieve very high. I think 63% go to college. And as a result of that, we're educating to as high a level as is possible. And the jobs that are available are not jobs that highly educated people want to do. So what we don't know from this youth report of 12.2% is, what's the geographic location of the unemployed people? What's the socioeconomic segments of that? And really to ask ourselves, are the universities and the secondary schools educating people relevant to the marketplace opportunities? So I think there's a real, you know, if you, I'm very familiar with Ethiopia, and 33% of secondary students, of the population of young people go to secondary school. Therefore, only 5% get up to university level.
Okay, so entry-level jobs, there are plenty of people who will want to fill them because they are, as we used to be in previous generations, maybe in the middle of the last century, people left school after their primary certificate, as it was then. They were allowed to leave. Many of them left after what was the intercert, now the junior cert.
Yep.
And they went out directly into employment.
And started at 16 and worked their way up and achieved a very high level of competence and make a good career for themselves. But currently today, 52% of our population have a bachelor's degree. And what the mismatch here is that those of us who are screaming for staff cannot attract the 52% of people who have a bachelor's degree and want a different kind of job. And I think within that 12.2% of youth unemployed, they won't do the jobs that are available for them. The other great challenge coming down the line is AI, because whilst it presents huge opportunities, it's going to make significant challenges in the workplace, and particularly for young people, I'm told, in a World Economic Forum report. White-collar and entry-level jobs are going to be at severe risk. And I just don't think...
But in your business, for example, you know, AI can't cook an egg in the morning for breakfast.
It absolutely cannot. And that's why I'm always looking for people to come and work for us. As I've said before, people will not work a Saturday night and get up and start the 6 o'clock shift. They don't want to wash the pots or clean the bedrooms. They want to be off on a Friday evening. So they want the job that they've been educated for, or that is respected, let's describe it as. And we just can't fill those jobs. And yet it's because, you know, what are 40,000 young people in Ireland doing being unemployed? It's a really serious situation. Mm. And I think that figure is going to grow.
Now, you would obviously like to get more staff. And there are people in certain socioeconomic cohorts who haven't got the education and in theory, who could be trained up, practically speaking, to do many of the jobs in service that are currently being filled by people who come in from outside the country and are glad to do those jobs, whether, you know, it's someone on a Deliveroo bike or in a cafe or a bar or a hotel. Is there a problem that some of the people are just, you know, they would not be acceptable to employers because of their background?
No, I wouldn't accept that at all. I think if a person presents themselves for work, you don't judge them by their background or their socioeconomic. You judge them by their ability and their willingness. And that's what's lacking. I mean, look at all the Uber taxi drivers and look at all the CPD or whatever they are, delivery trucks going around. They're all, in the majority, they're foreigners. And we really need them. But it's not about... if you come from a certain area that the employer won't employ them, it's that the people are not willing to apply for those jobs. They want a job. And really, it's back to the expectations in this country are completely different to the driver who's come across from Eastern Europe and is absolutely delighted to earn a good salary
by the way,
a good living.
Social media, you know, most people are glued to their phones in that generation at any rate, looking at influencers and all the rest of it. Is there something about what they're seeing there that changes the aspiration? You know, so many people actually want to be an influencer as a career.
Well, not necessarily an influencer, but they want to achieve the very high levels of lifestyle that, you know, if you have 12 million followers and you're telling them, you know, this has been your success, people are going to aspire to that. But it's a false life. And I think it definitely does have a huge impact on what people's expectations are. And, you know, my generation, I really can't understand how people are so taken in by an influencer who's had plastic surgery 10 times over and wants to look 16 at 40. Mm. But it's that will have a huge impact, of course. But just generally, there's a snob level attached to what job somebody wants to apply for. Yeah. And I don't think that there's young people sitting at home doing nothing just because the employer is rejecting them. I think it's because they don't choose to apply for the specific jobs that are vacant. Uh-huh. And quite honestly, we will continue to have this problem that highly educated people, and this happens all over the world. You know, the United States is the same. highly educated people will not do the blue-collar jobs.
And Declan Keenan of Just Ask is on the line. Declan, what is your take on this? I mean, one in eight of a particular age cohort not working, and there are jobs everywhere in our economy. What do you say to that?
Sure. And I'm coming from like an inner city perspective here. So like the inner city has changed so much. We've now in our community, we've 40, say, different nationalities come in from new communities. Now, a young person could arrive in the country and end up in third year or fourth year, not have great English, not have any idea of how Irish society works. You know, where do they go looking for jobs? Where do they go looking for work? And, you know, the school is kind of breaking themselves to try and just get that young person up to standard with English.
Yeah, now we don't have the detailed breakdown of the background of the people who don't have work, but you seem to be suggesting that all the native Irish people in your communities can get jobs because they can speak the lingo and understand
society. I'm not saying that.
You seem to be saying, though, that it's immigrants who are having difficulty working.
No, what I'm saying is, like, you've got that on top of another community that's already been there that already struggled to get kind of good jobs. Like, I mean, one of the things that we done last year was we started an initiative to try and get our young people into much better jobs, trying to get them to think of a higher paid job. So we had people, take on these young people. We had people like Ross Lewis in Chapter 1 take on two young people and, you know, give them a really excellent experience. A lot of the young people, when they're in transition here, Pat, they will, you know, they'll be told, go down and drop in a CV somewhere. They don't even know where to begin half the time. They don't even know what a CV is, you know. And then they don't want to think of themselves ending up in a job that's paying €12 an hour. They're being told, you know, even if you're working as a highly paid job, you're not going to be able to afford a house ever in this country. How many of the young people are not taken into this the account here who have already left the country? You know, so many young people have left, and young people will talk all the time about, you know, want to go to Australia, want to go to America, want to go to New Zealand. I was talking to some parents there over the weekend, and they were just saying that, you know, if their young lad goes out or young girl goes out and gets a summer job, then they end up in the tax net. Then all of a sudden the rent goes up on the accommodation that they're in. All of a sudden the parent might lose their medical card. So it puts strains onto people. So there doesn't seem to be a thought put into how do we get young people into being employed, getting on that first rung of the ladder, but having some clear career path. I started working at 14 in Johnson Mooney on O'Brien. I went down, I was too young to work, but I got on the van anyway. My dad worked as a van man in Finglas for Buttercrust. He was able to buy his own house, a pretty decent house in a nice area, on just one salary. That's today, young people are being told, that will never happen for you.
Well, that's a more profound problem, I suppose, that pretty much every young couple, no matter what they're earning, it requires two of them to be working to be able to afford a mortgage. I want to play you something because our reporter Dylan Hahn took to the streets of Dublin to see what young people and employers think about the issue.
I own a jeweller's store here in town and I do have a lot of young people, yeah.
With their CVs, do you find they're quite confident coming in to look for a job?
They tend to leave the CV, maybe I'm with a colleague, they don't spend an awful lot of time in the shop. They mightn't ask for myself, you know, as the manager.
If you do have a young 18, 19-year-old kid coming fresh out of school, like, it is hard for them to get work if they're not doing an apprenticeship just because they just don't have the experience. But they're actually finding their mothers and fathers are coming in, handing the CVs for them. They're not doing it themselves.
Do you feel like the confidence is there for young people that work, not just in jewellery stores, but for front of house operations everywhere?
They certainly, I think, lack a little bit of confidence. I think they lack a little bit of social awareness and maybe that whole comfort zone around being, you know, face to face with people.
I worked in a call centre for about 2 years. It was all work from home. Gives you a lot more time, a lot more freedom.
If maybe you're trying to recruit someone that's left in a CV, if you give them a phone call, do you find them quick to pick up the phone?
That's actually an interesting one, yeah. I don't know, many times I've actually rang numbers. You never get, very seldom now you get someone to answer the phone the first time.
Also, it's probably not talked about, but not having to get dressed and get into a proper uniform for work is just so handy.
Yeah, I worked in hospitality, so I was a waitress. I was applying online through Indeed, and then I was going around to one or two places as well, handing in my CV in person. I applied to one job online, and then I also went in person, and they were like, we don't really accept CVs in person. I think young people definitely do like work.
Times have definitely changed, and young people now would be more inclined to put together a CV, put it out, leave it in, and kind of hope for the best and be out of the shop as quick as possible.
Okay. A number of issues there, as discovered by our reporter, Dylan. So, Louis, what do you make of that? Kids unwilling to pick up the phone, parents dropping in CVs.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the young people today will, the young people that go out and knock on doors, they're the ones that will get the jobs. They're the ones that are, you know, kind of interested in working.
Okay. What do you think, Lorraine, in terms of the adaptability of young people, and particularly the post-COVID generation who missed out on all of that social interaction during critical years?
Yeah, definitely. I think the COVID period knocked the confidence of a lot of people. but nonetheless, now, Pat, we have to get back to, we only have 4.7% of people unemployed. I think there's a bit more stitching together to be done by agencies like what Declan is talking about. Mm-hmm. He's helping people to interface properly with a prospective employer. And I think on a larger scale, our services from the government have to engage all of the 40,000 people. Why are they unemployed? And I mean, I have to ask the question as well, is there a social welfare pull here? Because if the only jobs that are available are what Declan described as the €12.50 minimum wage jobs, and they don't want them, should they be left on benefit? So there's a bit of more work to be done on the whole concept of unemployment in Ireland, I think.
Last words to you, Declan.
Sure, I don't think there's been enough investment gone into these young people who went through that pandemic phase, you know, and it definitely has affected them. But also, I think, like, if you're out there and you have employment and you're in a community, you know, maybe you take a bit of the initiative too, because it's the employers who want these young people. So maybe contact the school and say, look, I'm willing to take 3 or 4 CVs and take 1 or 2 of those young people, have the young person drop them into me, because genuinely, you know, these young people have lost skills that they desperately need, you know, that would have been drilled into us. And they do spend an awful lot of time now on their phones and things, so they're not interacting face to face with people. Young people just find that very difficult these days. And that's the reality that they're facing.
All right, Declan, thank you very much. It's a very interesting conversation, because our listeners have been greatly engaged by it. And I'll bring those comments to you a little later on. But thanks to business owner, master tailor, Louis Copeland, hotelier, Lorraine Sweeney, and youth worker from Just Ask, Declan Keenan.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.